to the letter of Paul to the church in Colossae, Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I'm sorry, Colossians chapter 4. I know what I'm doing here. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. Verses 2 to 18 from Colossians chapter 4. Paul writes these words as he is inspired by God's Holy Spirit. Continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. At the same time, pray also for us that God may open us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. Conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Tychicus will tell you all about my activities. He is a beloved brother and faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord. I have sent him to you for this very purpose, that you may know how we are and that he may encourage your hearts. And with him, Onesimus, our faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you. They will tell you of everything that has taken place here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. And Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers that you may stand mature and fully assured of in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus that see that you fulfill the ministry that you have received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Thus far, the reading of God's holy word. Beloved in our Lord Jesus Christ, we live very, very busy lives. And sometimes we wonder if we are so busy that we don't have time for God, because we are just in a hustle and a bustle in about our activities of work, activities of play, activities of studies, activities of free time and busyness with that. Sometimes we are indeed so busy that we have a tendency to push God aside because we don't have time for him. God's call to us tonight is a call to take time for him. And this is all about prayer, and prayer being the most important element in the life of the disciple of Jesus Christ and in the church of Jesus Christ. In all of our busyness, we need to be reminded that God never takes time off. We get physically tired and we need our weeks of vacation, our days off from time to time, because we're human. But God never takes a break. Always there, always attentive, ever available in our own lives, and we need to be reminded of that for ourselves. We're going to be looking tonight at how God relates to us and how we relate to God in prayer, as we see that developed for us. And as we look at that, I want to look at three things with you in focusing our attention specifically on verses 2 to 6 of the passage that we have before us. First of all, the importance of prayer, the priority of prayer, and a call to prayer in the life of the disciple. Continue steadfastly, verse 2, in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. And then a call for those who are members of the congregation to be praying for those who are in ministry and those for who are a part of that. And that's where we read, at the same time, pray also for us, that God may open to us a door for the word, says Paul, to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak. And then thirdly, those who are in ministry, and that could be ministers and elders and deacons and teachers and those who are in active ministry activities in the kingdom of God, there's a call for us to pray for our own ministry activities for God's blessing on that. Conduct yourselves wisely, says Paul, toward outsiders, making the best use of the time, verse 5. Now verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. First of all, then, a call to prayer that we find in verse 2. When we think back to the initial comments that I was making about our busy lives, it just seems for us that there is never enough time in the day for us to get our things done. There are times when I say to my wife, I wish that the Lord would give me an extra day in the week that nobody else knows about, and that I can just be able to get things done and get caught up. And I hear my wife saying to me, but God has given you 6 days to work, one to take off, and even that becomes a Sunday, doesn't it, sometimes for me? And so I sometimes try to sneak another half a morning off somewhere throughout the week. But God has given us the time that we have, and we need to use the best of it for Him in the time that He has given to us. The problem is that when we become very, very busy, and we have a tendency to push God aside and we don't take the time for Him, we have a tendency to go into spiritual relapses in our own lives. And God's call to us is never to let that happen to us, because prayer is the very essence of our spiritual life. This morning we made some comments about Martin Luther as a part of the Reformation that took place, the commemoration of that which took place yesterday. Well, Luther also was considered to be a man of prayer. As a matter of fact, Luther would comment many times, I have a very, very busy life, but here is my motto, said Luther, the busier I am, the more time I take for prayer. The busier I am, the more time I take for prayer. Why? Because I can't be so busy that I can't ask God to be a part of whatever my busyness is all about. I need God to be a part of my life and every aspect of it. The disciples of Jesus Christ were watching the life and the activities and the daily routine of Jesus, and they saw that there were times when He would set Himself apart and He would take time for prayer on a regular basis. And the disciples were asking Jesus, what is it that you do when you go off by yourself? Teach us to pray. And Jesus, when He responds to that, Luke chapter 11, when He responds to that, teaches His disciples what we call the Lord's Prayer, what I like to call the disciples' prayer, teaching them the importance of prayer, a model prayer in which we focus our attention first on God in our prayer life. Your will be done, Your kingdom come, Your name be honored, and then focusing on our own needs in our lives in the fourth and the fifth and the sixth petition of our daily bread and being forgiven and not being led into temptation. Jesus sets the bar high for us when it comes to prayer life. I would say to myself, if Jesus, being God, needed to take time to be in communion with His Father, how much more we who are following Jesus Christ, who are called to be children of God and disciples of the Savior, need also to follow the example that Jesus set for us. Oh, there will be some who will say to us, you spend a lot of time in prayer. You go right ahead and spend your time in prayer while I go out there and actually do the things that you are praying about. As if there was a dichotomy between spending time in prayer and doing the things that God has called us to. There is no dichotomy there. There is no one that is more important than the other. We are called upon to do both. We are called upon to be active in the ministry of what God has called us to do in our daily activities through the day. But we are called upon to do so only after we have spent time in prayer about those things for God to lead us and to guide us in that as a part of our lives. Dennis Prager, who is a non-Orthodox Jew, sets up this false dichotomy when he comments, ask not what God may do for you, but what you may do for God. You see, that doesn't work. It's a false dichotomy. God calls us to be active in the activities that he calls us to do on a daily basis, but always bathing our activities in prayer. The church is a good example of that. Call to prayer for the church is one in which we need to be reminded that it's well and good for us to be making plans for ministries within the church. But have we been in prayer about these plans even before we go into the meeting room for the elders or sitting around your kitchen table if you're making plans with your family? Have you taken the time, first of all, to pray that God would lead you in your discussion together and then follow where the Lord will lead after you have prayed about it? And ask for God to lead you where you are going. We have a tendency, by our own human nature, to make our plans and say, oh God, will you please put a stamp of blessing on what we are planning to do? Doomed for failure. I can tell you that right now. Because God calls us to put him first and ask for his direction in our lives. First of all, prayer is an important ingredient in the life of the disciple of Jesus Christ, set right alongside with the reading of God's Word. I don't want to say that one is more important than the other, but today we are talking about prayer. Have you ever gone into the kitchen to bake some bread? Perhaps some of the women, maybe some of the men too, like to bake bread. Now imagine, if you're going through your cupboards and you don't find any flour, but you urgently need to make that bread, so you put all the other ingredients together for that bread, and you can't find the flour, so you just forget about the flour, right? Just put it into the oven without the flour. You're going to invite a guest over to have that, whatever it is that comes out of the oven. Not likely. Flour is the most important ingredient for the bread, is it not? As prayer is the most important ingredient in the life of the Christian. That's how important prayer is for us. Paul says, continue steadfastly in prayer, being watchful in it with thanksgiving. Continue steadfastly. What he's talking about here is make it an ongoing thing. Always be in prayer. When he writes to the church in Thessalonica in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 17, very short verse that says, pray without ceasing. Never stop praying. Now, does that mean then that we need to be on our knees with our hands folded and our eyes closed 18 hours of the day while we take our 6 hours or whatever it is to sleep, and all day long we're supposed to be in prayer? If we're going down to 402, 100 kilometers an hour, if we're holding, well, 110, I guess, I hope that you're not closing your eyes, folding your hands. 10 and 2, keep your eyes on the road, but be in prayer. You can still be in fellowship with God, always, in every activity, in all that you are doing in your life. That's the call that Paul provides to us, that God provides to us in our prayer. When we don't do that, things will fall apart in our lives. Things will not go smoothly, and they will go from bad to worse when we don't take that time in prayer before God. One author writes, "Your day will be less likely to unravel if you hem it up with prayer." We need to be reminded of the importance of prayer in the life of the Christian. But as much as we see, because we see, rather, the importance of prayer, we need to apply it in different ways. And that's what Paul does in the verses that continue. In verses 3 and 4, he calls on the disciples to be praying for one another, to be praying for those in ministry and those who are involved in different kinds of ministry, but also to be praying for each other. At the same time, says Paul, "Pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word to declare the mystery of Christ, on account of which I am in prison, that I may make it clear which is how I ought to speak." Paul asks the readers to pray for his ministry. He's not afraid, he's not ashamed to ask for prayers. Many in the scriptures have followed the same example, asking for the prayers of those who are around him. Abraham, the kings of Israel, Esther, Daniel, this morning as we looked at that, the apostles and missionaries in the book of the Gospels and in the book of Acts, the missionaries asking for the prayers of God's people. I suspect that amongst us sometimes we may have some needs. Oh, but we don't want everyone else to know about that, right? We feel perhaps that we don't want others to pray for us. Why is that? It may be because it is a matter of confidence. There's justification in keeping that between you and the Lord, and you ought to be talking to the pastor and the elders about that and keeping it in confidence. There is that. But oftentimes, it's just because we're a bit embarrassed that we have some needs. To ask for prayer on the part of someone else demonstrates that I have a weakness somewhere that I need prayers for. Whether it's a spiritual thing or an emotional thing or a physical, medical thing, whatever it is. And then I don't know that I want myself to be seen as being a needy person in front of everyone else because they see me being so strong. Why should I ask for prayer? It's kind of embarrassing, isn't it? Well, if we would all do it, none of us would need to be embarrassed about it because we would all be sharing our burdens with one another. And that's what Paul is calling to us here in this as well. We are called upon to share with others what our needs are so that we can be in prayer together as God's people for that which God calls us to. Particularly, Paul talks about that for those who are in the ministry. A pastor's need for prayer is great. Your pastor's need for prayer on a daily basis, praying for your pastor and the family in the ministry that they are involved in here in this congregation. It's a lot of weight on the shoulders of those who are providing leadership in this congregation, the elders and the pastor. Those who are involved in ministry need the prayers of the people. Paul challenges the congregation to be in prayer for the pastor and the elders and those who are providing direction in the church. Those of us who are in leadership, I count myself in on that as a missionary, also needing the prayers of God's people for a blessing on the teaching ministry that God provides for me. For a blessing in the years earlier when I was planting churches, I needed the prayers of God's people in order to be able to be encouraged not only, but also in order to be able to know that that which I was doing was being shared with God's people and there were people praying for the activities that I was involved in. Leaders in the church are a target of Satan and his followers. They like nothing better than to see a leader of the church fall. And inasmuch as that happens, he knows and senses that he's making headway in his fight against the extension of the kingdom of God. Don't let that happen. A call to prayer is out for that. Charles Spurgeon, a preacher in England, in the latter part, in the last half of the 18th century, 19th century, I guess from 1850 and forward, the last half of the 1800s, was able to demonstrate a ministry in which his ministry was growing. And he was at one time asked, "What is the secret of your ministry?" And he responded by saying, "The secret of my ministry has nothing to do with anything that I do. It has everything to do with what the congregation is doing and being in prayer for me." When asked to see this great metropolitan tabernacles where he preached and have been given a tour through that, first place he went was not the sanctuary. He went into the basement where there was a room dedicated only for prayer. People were praying in that room 24/7 for the ministry of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And especially during the time when he was preaching, there would be people praying in that room for his ministry. The importance of prayer for those who are in leadership of the church. We need to be praying for the ministries of the church. You have various different ministries going on in this church. You know them better than I do. I'm a guest here. But I know that you have active ministries going. Some of it may be being done differently now during this time of the pandemic, of the COVID-19 thing. We have to be careful of how we're doing things, but we are doing the ministry, and we are always looking for ways in which we can do these things in spite of some of the barriers that some try to set against us for doing those ministries. We are called upon to do ministry. We are called upon to pray for each one of those ministries, the ministry of the word being the most important of those ministries, the ministry of that which has to do with the nurturing of our children in support of the home and of the schools. With regards to raising our children, the church is called upon to be there for that. We need to pray that the church would provide that kind of a support to our children and our youth and to the adults and to those who are a part of the membership of the church and those who may be interested from the community to participate in that as well. Be praying for that. Be praying for opportunities to be able to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ. God provides an opportunity for each and every church to have a circle of influence. And I'm going to be talking about the circle of influence for ourselves later on too, but the church also is placed in a specific place, in a specific time, for a specific reason. You are placed here in Kamoka for a reason. And you need to be looking for ways, prayerfully, in which you can be used by God right here in this community and in the communities where your fellowship members are living, in the municipalities and in the various communities from far and wide, some of them. Be praying for those kinds of ministries that are going on. Sometimes I hear from shut-ins that they bemoan the fact that they have no opportunity to be involved in the ministry of the church. I encourage them by saying you can be involved in the single most important ministry of the church right from your wheelchair, right from your bedside, right from your home, wherever you are when you are shut in. You have the ministry of prayer available to you. Sometimes in our activities and our conversations about prayer, we can talk about different things and we can say, well, the least that we can do is pray for it. Really? The most you can do, the first thing you can do is pray for whatever it is that you need that help in. That's what Paul is talking about when he talks about this. He is praying also as we move with that, where he says, conduct yourselves wisely towards outsiders. And that is with regards to praying for our own ministries, those activities that God has called us to in our lives. When Paul says, conduct yourself wisely towards outsiders in verse 5, Who is he talking to about these outsiders? To whom is he referring? I live in the community of Strathroy. Strathroy is roughly one-third Portuguese, one-third Dutch, and one-third others from different nationalities. Does that mean that in Strathroy you're an outsider if you're not Portuguese or Dutch? Is Paul talking about a racial outsiders, racially? He might potentially be. I mean, he grew up as a Jew, a practicing Jew, and from a Jewish nationality, and he might have been talking about those who are outside as being those who are not of the Jewish race, but by this time, Paul has already been preaching the gospel to the Gentiles and the inclusivity of the gospel for both Jew and Gentile alike. When Paul is talking here about conducting ourselves wisely toward outsiders, the identity of the outsiders are those who are outside of Jesus Christ. Those who have not yet responded to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he says, conduct yourself wisely before them. Because they are watching you. There is a sense in which Paul is saying here, be careful of your testimony amongst those who do not know Christ, because they are watching you, and any slip on your part may serve as a stumbling block to them. Pray that you would be a good testimony, that you would be faithful, and that the way that you live your life may be an opportunity for those who are watching you to say, there's something different about you. Why do you do things the way you do things? While you've just seen them open a door for you to share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, as you ought to be praying for those opportunities. And that's what Paul says next in this text when he says, not only conduct yourselves wisely toward outsiders, but then he says, make the best use of the time. Now, there's different ways of translating that. I speak Dutch and Spanish. Both of those versions, in the more popular versions, say redeem the time as it's translated into those two language groups. Paul's interest here is to be sure that we know who our circle of influence is on a personal level. In your job, in your home, if there be some amongst your home structure, your family structure, who do not know the Lord, in your neighborhood, at school, in your recreational activities when you're on vacation, make the most of your time, because, as I mentioned with the church, God has placed each and every one of you as a disciple of Jesus Christ in a specific place, at a specific time, for a dedicated, God-ordained purpose. Make the most of it. Don't hit the snooze button when you have an opportunity to speak about Christ. Pray for those opportunities. That's what Paul is talking about here. Remind yourself that you are a follower of Jesus Christ and are called upon to represent Him in everything that you do and all that you say. And as you do that, then look for those opportunities. Don't go through the exercise of saying, well, after having had an opportunity and walking away from it, whoa, that was an opportunity. What? That's okay, though. Maybe tomorrow will be another opportunity, and maybe it won't be another opportunity. We need to be called upon to act when God calls us to act in these situations. And Paul calls for a discretion of our speech. He says in verse 6, let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. Full of grace. What does he mean by that? We are called upon to speak the truth and to speak in those opportunities that we have. but we are called upon to do so graciously. God calls us to speak the truth, yes, but sometimes we need to take a step back and be reminded that we are called upon to speak the truth, but we need to know when to say it at the right time. We need to learn how to say it. We need to be reminded what to say, exactly what needs to be said, especially if it's a delicate situation. Always speaking graciously and asking God to guide us as we speak to others about Him or about things going on in their lives that need some correction or change in their lives. Be in prayer about how and when and what you are to say to those who are a part of your circle of influence where God has placed you. And He says, seasoned with salt. Your conversation needs to be seasoned with salt. What do we use salt for when we cook? When I use salt, I use it in order to bring out the flavor of whatever it is that I am cooking. I don't cook that much, but when I do, it's to bring out the flavor. What? It's to bring out the essence of whatever it is that you're making so that we can taste it all. Seasoning your conversation with salt is that same thing of being sure that whatever we say, we know that those who are hearing are getting the essence of what we are saying and not being misconstrued and not being misunderstood. Oh, I didn't know that's what he meant. Be clear with what you need to say and ask God to guide you with that. You know, we can say with our tongues those things that are not very helpful sometimes, and we can say those things that are very helpful. James talks about that. In James chapter 3, verse 4, he says, look at the ship also. Though they are so large and driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. With the tongue, we can do damage as we speak, but with the tongue, we are called in prayer to use it to honor and glorify God for the extension of His kingdom. That same tongue needs to be anointed by God's Spirit to speak those things that we are called upon to speak in the way and at the time and for the purpose that God has intended. In this verse, Paul says, always be full of grace. Always. And that's a reminder once again that at all times we are called upon to do that which God has called us to do as faithful Christians, faithful disciples. At work, at church, at play, means to everyone, not just those whom you decide that you feel comfortable with. We are to do that with all whom God has called us to. As we live our Christian lives, we need to be reminded that God is the one who calls us to live a life before Him with prayer in every area of our lives, praying for our own needs, as we have seen that, praying for the needs of the church, praying for those activities of ministry and kingdom activities and those connections and contacts that we have in our own lives. It is my prayer that you as a church will learn and know the importance of prayer as you do your ministry planning as a church and in the activities of the church. It is my prayer that you as individuals will also look for those opportunities that God has given to you. It may be that you have those opportunities right in front of you and you have been overlooking them. Ask for God's Spirit to guide you to use those opportunities and to make the most of the time as Paul calls us to that. May he be praised. Amen. Let's pray. Father in heaven, you call us to do first things first, and that is to develop our relationship with you in prayer. That's one thing for us to hear these things. It's quite another for us to follow these things in our own lives. If there be among us those who have been neglecting times for devotion and prayer in their lives, we pray, Father, that this may be a call to get back on track, to take the time that we need to be led by you. We pray that you would help us to identify those areas of influence that you have placed us in as a church, here in this community, as a church, beyond the community. Prayer for missionaries, many of whom are posted on the bulletin board below. Help us to be in prayer always for them in their ministries and their lives as well. And as you help us identify those who are, you know, where you have placed us in areas of influence, we pray that you would help us to be bold and courageous to be able to make the most of the opportunity that you give to us, so that wherever we are and all that we do, we may have this opportunity to speak to others about that. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.